This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you have done a phenomenal job.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Now let me throw a couple at you. What's your name?
Don.
Don.
Bang, bang!
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm out.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
Huh? Hello? Why?
What's up, homies?
Hi, guys.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to ENN, which tonight is sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All-American Ford has the largest selection and best price with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I'm Sully.
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
I'm Mr. Joe Football.
Okay.
How's everyone doing?
Great.
Awesome.
I hate Don.
That's strong. Tough day yesterday for Saquon Barkley.
Why?
Well, he had 13 rushes, okay, for 1 yard.
Okay.
Apparently he was banged up, and he was seen by reporters entering the X-ray room following the loss. Here's Saquon being asked about the rough game that he had.
You ever had a game or a stretch like this where it just hasn't been as productive as you'd like?
Yeah, I think I probably had it in college, but at the end of the day, I just got to go back, watch film, get ready for bye week, and get ready for our next opponent.
Do you have a sense of what was the biggest problem with the running game?
We just played a hell of a game. They're a hell of a defense. Going into the game, they were only averaging 3.1 yards per carry. And they did an amazing job. And I made sure I went to Coach Williams and shook his hand and said, good job.
Then he was asked about whether the injuries were affecting his play, and he said, next question. I don't know if we've ever – that's probably the first time we've heard a next question from Saquon.
I give the Giants offensive linemen credit because they all took the blame. They said there's no excuse. Well, he's on the field. That's our job to open up holes for him. That's not on him. They all took the blame.
Well, the way I took the next question wasn't, I don't want to answer that, but more, hey, it's not an excuse, so I'm not even going to address it.
I
played
right.
in the game, so I'm not going to use it as an excuse.
I think knowing him, that's exactly what it was. The Saints, I wish they had an excuse because I picked them yesterday stupidly. Should have picked the Ravens. Fool. They were 13.5-point favorites, and they lost to Atlanta, who had one win at the time. They lost at home to Atlanta, 26-9. The biggest favorite to lose this season. Let's hear from Drew Brees.
All the little things that played a big factor in this game, making some of those plays, playing the percentages, you know, running the ball better, you know, avoiding the sack, avoiding the negative play, you know, not committing the unforced errors and the penalties. Lop them all together, and that's what happened today. And some, you know, lack of execution kind of all the way around just encompasses all that. So that pretty much summed up the game. We shouldn't need any more questions.
Boy, he's going to be an announcer, huh?
I didn't think it was that great.
Well, he speaks very well.
I mean, he speaks nicely. I wasn't enthralled.
What enthralls you? It's the kind of voice that you sit up and listen to what he's saying. It's not like Charlie Brown's teacher.
I didn't say he sounded like Charlie. No, he's not Charlie Brown's teacher, but he wasn't Vin Scully.
I didn't say it was Vin Scully.
Oh, my God. Vin Scully didn't analyze games.
That was Captain Literal, man.
Oh.
That's right. Lamar Jackson, another week, another incredible performance. Now a 49-13 route of the worst team in football, the Cincinnati Bengals. He also became the second player in NFL history to produce a perfect passer rating in multiple games in a single season. The other player to do it was Ben Roethlisberger, who had two in 2007. He's literally, Roethlisberger is the last quarterback, I would have guessed.
Right.
I mean, last. That is shocking to me. Here is, from WBAL in Baltimore, Lamar's 47-yard scramble touchdown.
Jackson will keep it on the read option. He's got it at the 40, 35, spins at the 30. He's got room, 20. Lamar Jackson, 10, 5, touchdown Ravens! Lamar Jackson with the spin, the sprint, and the score!
I mean, that's Michael Vick in 2004, that play. And this is unbelievable.
I'm shocked.
That he's this good?
No. The play-by-play guy did not get stepped on.
Not once. And I didn't really enjoy it that much, though.
Well, it was very good.
It was an affect that was a little over the top to me.
Really?
Score! It's a little too much. I don't like
critical
the,
today.
I am, but I for my
I think it's Nick.
Nick
got you in a bad mood.
Well, I mean, because I so disagree with your guys' take on Nick that he's like a compelling call.
Run it up a poll.
Is Nick a compelling caller?
Yeah.
You need C to be.
Can we get a Twitter poll, please?
Is
Nick a compelling caller?
A, yes. B, no. C, who's Nick?
That's what I was going
to
do.
Which is going to add to.
I love that.
My B.
That will win. And if that wins, then.
I win. Then I win. This would have to be C.
Who's this?
Another Lamar Jackson stat. This came earlier today from SportsCenter on Twitter. Over Lamar Jackson's first 16 starts, he has more wins than Patrick Mahomes, 13 to Mahomes 12. He has more rushing yards down than LaDainian Tomlinson, 1,258 to LaDainian's 1,236. His passer rating, 94.4, better than Tom Brady's 90.1. And a completion percentage of 63, better than Drew Brees' 61. That's how well this kid has played over his first 16 starts.
Steve Young says he wants to see more, though.
With quarterbacks, you have to these days.
Yeah, you
can have a year where you go, it's unbelievable, it's unstoppable, then all of a sudden defenses start scheming differently, and it changes. So,
did you see what happened during this game? I'm surprised you didn't bring it up. There was a play that they ran where they had Robert Griffin III in the backfield, and they also had Ingram in the backfield. They had three Heisman Trophy winners in the backfield.
At one time. Who did the ball go to?
Well, it was snapped to Lamar. I don't know how the play played out.
By the way, isn't it crazy? The Ravens, one of the things that makes the Ravens so good, them going out and getting Ingram this offseason, it wasn't talked about as that big a move, but what a great piece he is to add.
Did you see the little clip with Harbaugh sitting next to Lamar Jackson? It's unbelievable.
No, in what way? What's unbelievable?
I mean, I'll paraphrase. I'm sure Andrew has it somewhere, but he just says, this is why people love you. He said, just know that in the next 20 years, there's going to be a lot of little kids wearing number 8 jerseys that are playing just like you and then want to be you. And this is all on the bench. And he's got his arm around him, and Jackson goes, I got more work to do. I got to get to a Super Bowl. He goes, it's that attitude why your teammates love you. And Lamar Jackson goes, I love you. He goes, no, I'm not saying me. Your teammates love you. He goes, well, I love them too. It was really heartwarming. This was going on during the game.
Andrew, can we see if you can find that? I'd like to cry before ENN's over today. Also, here's Rex Ryan heaping praise on Lamar Jackson.
The league is brilliant, man. They know how to evaluate quarterbacks. This kid should have won the Heisman 2 years in a row. Well, is he too big, too fast? He's got too strong arm? I don't know. Just dismiss the fact. Ozzie Newsome. I mean, you guys deserve all the credit in the world. And then what do? You build your offense around this guy. The most special player I've ever seen in college football. Oh, he's also the most special player I've ever seen in the NFL.
Ooh. Rexy.
The most special player I've ever seen in the NFL.
I love hot take Rex.
More than Darrell Revis.
Hold on. Hot take Rex is out of control. Every week when he talks,
he should
on
really
Monday.
Do. He should be doing starter. Sports talk radio.
Yeah, on Monday when he gets on, it's like, what can I? Like, we all are amazed by Lamar Jackson. You're already going with the most special player you've ever seen.
Pat Mahomes not special.
He surpassed Pat Mahomes.
Played Tom Brady twice a year.
Rex beat him once in the playoffs though.
And he said Peyton Manning was better than Tom. Remember, so mm-hmm. Better than Peyton Manning. Wow.
Jalen Ramsey last week said that Juju Smith-Schuster was no Antonio Brown.
So his trip from Jacksonville to L.A. has not shut him up.
No, and then the Rams, who you picked, went on to lose outright. They were favored by 3.5.
The Rams have just assaulted you this year.
They really have, and you keep going back to the well.
Because of my love for McVay, but it looks like he's lost his mojo.
Here's what Ramsey had said about Juju.
No disrespect to him, he's not Antonio Brown. I matched up with Antonio for 2 years there, and that was a good battle, and I held my own in those battles. Yeah, now I'm going up against a different person, different body type, different receiver, a little bit. He can make plays, but I'm playing my game. I'm not really worried about it.
Juju's response was quite humble. He had 3 catches for 44 yards in the win. Here's what Juju had to say.
And he's right, though. I'm not Antonio Brown. I will never be Antonio Brown. I'm myself. I am Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm not as good as him yet. I think I still have time to proceed to get to his level. But, I mean, we're totally two different persons. Like I said, I mean, it was between me and Jalen Ramsey, and, you know, he had a good game.
You know what he's not? He's not a nozzle. He's a great kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's nothing like Antonio Brown. Juju's awesome.
Looks like Antonio Brown might get back in the league if the league doesn't discipline him. Supposedly the Cowboys are looking into it, and I also read the Ravens.
Oh, you mentioned the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, incredible crack producer, has the audio of Lamar talking.
He's not dealing with Nick. He's the best.
Here's Lamar talking to John Harbaugh on the bench yesterday.
That's why I love you too.
I love the way you play too.
Appreciate it.
All
you do is attack.
That's all I know.
Yep.
I watch. That's how it works.
You know me, little kids in this country. You wearing number eight playing quarterback for the next 20 years.
I can't wait to see it when I get old. But right now,
it's right.
Sorry. Start with one.
Touching.
If you heard any of it,
you couldn't. It sounded better on the radio, I think, than in our headphones.
Well, you know what? When they show it on TV, they have the subtitles and everything, right. So you know exactly what they're saying.
For people with the HD radio, they would do the same thing. I'm just kidding. Here's someone
really fired up today. That trip to L.A.
Yeah, that's
very Hollywood. Where's your glasses?
I wasn't.
Where's the busted blood vessel in your eye?
It's much better.
It is good.
It's almost better, right?
I see the whites of your eyes now.
Thank you. The Redskins have made a decision at quarterback. It'll be Dwayne Haskins the rest of the way.
A lot of thought went into that.
We're at a juncture where we don't want to be record wise, Bill Callahan said. So this is a good opportunity for him to take advantage of every rep so we can see growth in his play. Keenum will back up. In other words, we could legitimately have the worst record in football, so we have to decide whether we want to draft a quarterback or not. You have to imagine that's the thought process here.
I would think so.
Don, you agreed with me, though? There's something about the way Tua plays that doesn't look pro, right?
Yeah, he just looks like that quintessential college quarterback.
A kind of a slow delivery.
He's a lefty quarterback.
Is that what it is?
I think that's it.
Well, so I'm not going to pretend to be any college football expert. I don't watch a lot of college football, but that game was so hyped. And I'm surprised it isn't still being played. I mean, like,
college
game was 4 hours long.
College football's endless.
And nobody can make a big stop, but... I think he's really good. And Steve Young mentioned the fact that he was getting banged up in that one and he can play hurt. I'm just saying, tank for Tua, I was expecting to see a little bit more.
His numbers, yes, has him up. It's not too bad. 31 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 70.9 completion percentage.
Hey, I hate to say it. Go look at Haskins' numbers last year. Can't play yet. I mean, maybe he will be able to. Haskins had something like 50 touchdowns last year.
Also, he was playing on a bad ankle, Don.
All right, but it's not like he came into that game having like a monster year. I've heard this before. Greeny even tweeted something out about it. Bob Schusen had a tweet about it. And Bob watches a lot of college football.
And does football.
And does a lot.
And has opinions about everything. Did you guys hear Ed Orgeron, the head coach of...
Oh, my gosh, I sure did.
Is that his voice, Andrew? Or
that's
was
real.
He just... I mean, wow. It hurts to listen to him.
I cannot believe Ed Orgeron sounds like that.
It hurts.
You can't even really explain what it now. And that hurts to do for two seconds.
Do you know who's having the same surgery I had? Same surgery that I have. No.
Bruce Springsteen.
Party in the USA.
Party in the USA is...
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus is. Really?
He has to be silent for 3 weeks.
That's good news for music lovers.
Oh, what a jerk.
Come on.
Wow. She walked right into it.
She's got a beautiful voice.
She does. She actually does have a beautiful voice.
She walked right into it. I was the one who said it.
I know, but, you know.
Well, he's really got an attitude today.
You want to hear what Schusen had to say about Tagovailoa?
We only have 41 minutes left.
Go ahead.
I actually looked at the clock thinking maybe Yes was leaving in 30 seconds. I completely bought that. Everyone that has Tua at the top of the draft, what am I missing? When I watch him throw, I don't see a top-notch NFL ball. From a velocity standpoint, I just don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I would be the guy in the war room telling my guys not to take him.
Remember, everybody, you could hear Bob was choosing live from 1 to 3 every Wednesday.
That's right.
He fills in for Stephen A. Smith because Wednesday Stephen A. does Sports Center.
Let's hear the beautiful Ed Orgeron, head coach of LSU.
Well, it's such a big game. They beat us for 8 years. We got tired of hearing their stuff, man. I mean, it was time. I told the team tonight, we draw the line. We had enough. Here we come.
Sounds like there's just blood in his mouth.
Yeah, like Gargoyle's razor blades. I mean, he's got a scream, too. As a coach, you have to really yell. You know who has a voice
a big
like that?
Game. They beat us for 8 years. Doc Rivers. Got tired of hearing that stuff.
He's close. Doc's not like that.
No. Macho Man. Shrek is not
Macho
like
Man.
Yeah,
wasn't
it's
like
a little
this.
Macho Man, yeah.
Well, it's such a big game. They beat us for 8 years.
Yeah, he tore his LSU shirt off.
I mean, it was time.
You know whose voice always sounds clear and perfect? Stephen A. Did you just give me this Doc audio to compare? Here's Doc Rivers.
No, that's not enough for us. We didn't come here for that. Like,
well, it sounds like John Gielgud.
This is special. When you, I don't care if you're playing. I can't.
Yeah,
think
it's not even
really,
close.
Really. Well, a lot of these game they beat us for 8 years. I got tired of hearing that.
A lot of these basketball coaches have had that throat surgery.
Oh, from screaming.
Yeah, it really hurts your voice.
Here's a man whose voice is always in great shape, Stephen A. On how wrong he thinks what Mills and Perry did to Fizdale was yesterday.
What this man did to David Fizdale yesterday?
It's wrong.
Was disgraceful. He threw the coach under the bus. He's basically told the world, it's not really our fault. It's his.
Come on.
While he's still coaching the team, setting the stage for David Fizdale to be fired.
That's a problem.
Who don't know that David Fizdale is probably going to be gone? Who don't know that? I ain't going to lie to y'all. At this stage, I'll be shocked if David Fizdale lasts until Thanksgiving. Matter of fact, I might be shocked if he lasts till the end of this week.
And Thanksgiving, we'll have lasagna.
That's right.
And then turkey about this. Like a half hour later.
Yep. Do you hear about the Dion Waiters story in Miami?
Yeah, I have heard about it.
He's been suspended.
Don hasn't.
He's been suspended 10 games by the Heat because on a team flight the other day, he had a panic attack after eating weed edibles.
Come on.
No, he did.
Can on you the imagine, flight?
Yeah.
On the team flight?
Yes. And he's, by the way, he'd already missed a bunch of games this year. Like, he just keeps doing stuff. And he had a complete freak out. Like, was like on the ground.
Right.
By the way, I relate. I understand. You got to be careful.
What? Taking the edibles?
Yes. Just... Got to be careful.
You've had edibles.
You can't wait till you get home?
I'm very mindful now. I basically won't touch them. They're too scary. There's too much risk involved.
Really?
Yes. The wrong edible situation. This is one thing that's missed in the entire legalization process. Is that people think it's all fun and games? You eat an edible. If we did right now, call up and tell us about the time you ate an edible and you thought you were absolutely going to die, we wouldn't be able to take a call on anything else. So people act as if everything with weed is all hunky-dory. Yeah. Let's hear what Bobby Marks had to say about Dion Waiters.
I would be stunned if we ever see Dion Waiters back on the court again, you know, in Miami. I would be really surprised just by... I guess we always talk about culture down there, right? As far as him with, you know, with the Heat culture there. So you kind of just wait it out. I wouldn't do anything with a buyout, of course, because he's owed so much money. But you just kind of play it out and you try to, I guess, kind of give your distance to him as far as him being part of this group here.
I mean, really, I know that a lot of basketball players use it for recovery. And did you have to have an edible before you got on the flight?
Right.
What makes the flight more fun? How'd it work out for you?
It really sounded fun.
You know what?
Panic attack.
Might be a lost cause, my G.
Yordan Alvarez named the American League Rookie of the Year.
No surprise
Orioles
there.
Orioles' John Means finished second, and the Rays' Brandon Lau finished third. We'll find out about Pete Alonso shortly.
You know what you really don't appreciate enough in the lost cause, my G drop?
What's that?
Laura's sigh that goes the entire length of the drop.
Yes. Good call.
Might be a lost cause, my G.
Cookie.
Can we somehow just isolate the sigh? I'd like,
oh
to,
my
like
God.
To have that.
You don't find that disturbing, Pete.
I find it deeply disturbing. I'm not the one who has to decide whether it's disturbing.
It's like Christina Stoffel all over again.
I don't understand the reference.
No. That's all right. No, if you're an old school guy, you'd know.
Michigan State's Cassius Winston was in the lineup for Michigan State and had 17 points and 11 assists in the Michigan State win over Binghamton the day after his younger brother died. His younger brother was struck by a train. Ugh. And this kid, who is an AP preseason first-team All-American, played in a game against Binghamton. He got a standing ovation when he exited the game with 4:46 to play. Had a hug with Tom Izzo and every player on the team.
Listen, I can't pass judgment on how people handle their grief. And some people say, well, why would you take off as long as you... I mean, Dennis Smith Jr.'s his stepmom passed away.
And he's been gone 11 for 10 days.
11 days.
Yeah.
11 days.
Days, yeah.
And, I mean, if you read the story of his brother, I've read stuff where the brother walked in front of the train.
What do you mean? Like that, suicide?
I don't know. I never heard the word suicide, but there was one story I read that he walked in front of the train. So whatever the cause is, I can't believe this kid played. I can't, against Binghamton.
Right, they didn't need him.
Right, I'm stunned. God bless him that he can handle it that way, but that's shocking to me.
I mean, there are those athletes are such freaks about what they do when you're at that level that maybe just being in that zone made him feel good. Well, to me, I can't. When the worst things I've ever been through, I can't imagine going and performing in that moment.
And I've heard from people, especially baseball players, when you get between the lines, it takes your mind off.
Yeah.
You have to concentrate.
Some people need it.
Right? But they're a different level. That's what I'm saying. We can't identify with being an athlete of that level.
Right.
It's cathartic level for some people, wanting to get to work. I know when my father passed away, I found it like easier for me to cope by kind of focusing on my work.
But did you miss a day?
Well, I mean, obviously, when you have the funeral and stuff, you're gonna miss time,
right?
But it wasn't like but after everything was over, I mean, not that I look forward to is the wrong word, but like getting back to work was important.
No, I
for
understand
me.
That, but this is that. Such a shocking
this is,
death.
This is a tragedy.
This is an unbelievable tragic death, and you're able to get on the court and perform again. All power to him.
I don't think there's anything.
I can't tell people how to grieve.
Negative or positive about it.
No, it's
I mean,
interesting.
I just think
it's interesting.
It's interesting because some people. I don't know if I'd be able to do it, but some people have that inner strength, or just that's a way for them to be able to cope.
Speaking of Michigan State, former Michigan State star and Detroit Lions wide receiver Charles Rogers died at 38 years old.
Do we know what he died of?
Yes, it was cancer. Related to his liver.
Oh, awful. 38 years old.
I know. And also, you know what's weird about that? It said cancer and liver disease. What's also weird is it's so sad. And also, sports is such a cruel thing. I feel like Charles Rogers played a million years ago.
No.
And you hear he's only 38 years old.
Yeah.
He's younger than me, and I feel like he's been gone forever. If it had said he was 48, I would have believed it. But anyways, it's a sad story there. Sidney Crosby not going to play tomorrow night, Don.
No.
Against the Rangers. And also not going to be playing along with hockey at all anymore would be Don Cherry. He is gone. Off the air after a Hockey Night in Canada performance. In which, Don, you want to take us through exactly what happened there?
Well, it was Remembrance Day.
Which is like
Veterans Day. So Saturday, everybody was wearing poppies. The coaches on the bench were wearing poppies. Poppies are the significance of Remembrance Day, where you wear it on your lapel. And he was upset that there were a lot of people that weren't wearing it. And then he took it to another extreme that immigrants weren't wearing it. And
he proceeded to call them you people.
You people, and you should appreciate when you come here what our forefathers did. It was just a complete over-the-top opinion that he's been doing for years, and I think people have kind of taken it with a grain of salt, but we live in a different world now, and it was just really insulting. It's one thing to just not buy into the European players because they came to the NHL and took jobs from the North American players. It was really insensitive. And who I felt bad for, Michael, I don't know if you can empathize with this, is Ron McLean, who works on Coach's Corner with him, who usually tries to keep Don in place. And usually when he starts to go off the rails, reels him back in.
And he ended up apologizing.
But he ended up giving a thumbs up after it, giving the impression that he 100% agree with Don. He went on television yesterday to say he must have missed it, or he, for lack of a better phrase, kind of zoned out on it. So he's getting a lot of flack because it seemed like he was in on that, but he had a very heartfelt apology. And if you know Ron McLean, he does not agree with Don Cherry on that and has fought him back before. So I guess it is possible that when somebody's going through a long rant, you let him go and maybe you didn't exactly hear what was said.
I don't hear
he
half apologized. The stuff you said.
And they talked to him, and the speculation seems to be that maybe they asked Don to apologize. He wouldn't do it, but he's now out, 85 years old. He's been there for God, I guess it was like 87, 88 doing Coach's Corner for over 30 years, and he's an institution in Canada. But Michael, I was looking at Twitter. He lost people. I mean, there are very few people defending him on this, and
I
this
see
was
a few.
Just the last straw.
I see a few, shockingly, but
Al Strachan was one guy who says, what happened to freedom of speech? But It's just insensitive talk, Peter.
Yeah, but I love when people bring up a freedom of speech. Freedom of speech, it's on somebody else's airwaves. He could say whatever he wants on a corner, but you're representing somebody.
And also,
you're representing a company, and you're representing a broadcasting entity. You can't just say anything. Anybody who plays the freedom of speech card, that's moronic. It's not freedom of speech.
Also, Don, wasn't he, can we be honest for a second? He wasn't sort of on this path for a while of starting to say things that were getting like, I saw one person, I saw a few verified people basically say, I've been listening, I've been a hockey fan in Canada for Don Cherry for the last 35 years, and I've heard him basically be xenophobic and hateful about anyone different for 35 years.
He's been railing, Don told me, against European players forever.
Well, how about this? This is a stat I love. He was vehemently anti-European players. So when he owned the Mississauga Ice Dogs, in the first 3 years, he refused to have European players. Their combined record during that time, they won 16 out of 204 games.
Now, he rested on the fact that, hey, the Europeans are coming over and they're taking jobs from good Canadian kids. But, I mean, you can rest on that, but at some point, sorry, that just doesn't hold water anymore. He always mispronounced Jager's name, which many people speculate. He called him Jaeger. Was he being disrespectful to him?
But it was time.
It's time.
It was time.
It was time.
Speaking of time, that'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening with a huge football game lurking. And Don, speaking of lurking, we do have to talk about the New Jersey Turkeys at some point.
We already did with the phone caller.
We need more turkey talk.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit them at geico.com. Until 7 o'clock, it'll be like my sister's Thanksgiving. Everything's on the table.
Oh, wow.
1-800-919-3776. Nice. Everything. Dine along with us. It's a little buffet for you, our loving, loving listeners and viewers. Talk to us. We're here for you. Inside the Jets at 7. Then Alan Hahn, a must listen to at 8, as he'll break down what's going on with the Knicks and Scott Perry and Steve Mills. Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.